how many experienced this kind of, as soon as October hits, it might be before October, but boy, they start to like to market things, don't they? Yeah. Start getting marketing about what? Halloween. Is that right? It's like, I don't know how people are fascinated with demons and ghouls and stuff. And even just those clips that they have of some of the movies, it's like, why do you want to go do that to yourself? You know, why do you want to torture yourself like that? But there's this fascination, and here's the thing about it, is there really is another realm. There is a spiritual realm. What always kind of interests me with this is, as scary as some of those demonic things are, I'm thinking, this is what we have to put up with? Because they are nothing compared to what we have. Is that right? So I went to Nepal with my dad. Man, it's been a long time ago now. And in Kathmandu, Nepal, they have these temples. They have a lot of temples all over the place. In fact, on the streets, they have little shrine things that are all over. And if it's really cute, these little kids are going to school, and they are afraid of these little shrines. I believe there's demonic activity going on. I mean, you can tell these kids are afraid, and they'll go and they'll make sure that they go around these things, you know. Right. In fact, my dad had an experience there where he went in one of these temples, and he was going out of it, and he saw something that they didn't think he should see, and somebody put a curse on him. And he ended up having a physical condition. We don't know if it's connected, but you know, there's actual real things like that, you know. So they had me speak at a church in a part of Kathmandu, and it's kind of precious experience there, because they all take their shoes off and put them in these little containers before they go in the building. I guess they're all, you know, taking care of their facility. It was precious. But anyway, I spoke there, and on the way back, they took me by this temple, this Hindu temple, and so much demonic activity. You know, when you're pulling up, these priests have dead people's ashes on them, you know, and they're high, and it just, I mean, it's just a weird experience. And this temple is full of monkeys. And you go across this little bridge, and a lot of sexual things that are just really, you know, yucky. And they were actually getting ready to sacrifice a bull. And the Christians I were with, they said, "Oh, let's get away from here. They're getting ready to do." I'm thinking, well, that's kind of fascinating, actually. And I'm thinking, and I actually, it was almost like the joy of the Lord just kind of came. It's like, why be afraid of this stuff? Amen. You know what I mean? But here is the thing, is there is a reality. There's another realm going on right now. And it's more real than the natural. And here's the challenge, is when we're born into this natural realm, that everything that we're doing is a result of something that we've sown, is something that we merit, that we're being punished for. You know, I mean, it all has to do with, and we have limits. Is that right? You can only go so far. You know, there's a natural realm that we grow into, we get used to, but there is actually this supernatural realm that is unlimited, that is very powerful. That is, in fact, that is the realm that a lot of creative things flow from. So even the amazing technology, I believe, is coming from a spiritual realm. There was a story about the big machinery, those cat land movers. I heard a story about this guy that was actually praying in the spirit and got these ideas about how to make these machinery. and it came by the Holy Spirit. So there's this other realm that a lot of these things are coming from that is the spiritual realm. And it's another realm that actually is an eternal realm. The things that are natural are temporal. They're going to pass away. But the things that are spiritual are eternal. Is that right?
Yes.
So I want to talk about ventures into the spiritual realm. If we can look at it this way, I just want to look at it a little bit different because this is going to be, actually, I'll put a plug in for my sister right now. She just wrote a book on the spirit realm. And it's actually about prayer. So I'm going to be talking about prayer, but I just want to look at it from a little bit different angle because we're not going to go through a whole book here today. You can go like this, okay? So we're not going to do the whole thing. But we're going to look at a perspective of this because what I want us to understand is, man, didn't you appreciate how Buddy was praying over the offering this morning? And I'm thinking, he's talking to God. And what is taking place in this time when he's talking to God like this? He's entering into another realm. He's actually venturing into another realm. When he starts speaking to God, it's his spirit speaking to another spirit. I mean, this is pretty farmed out. You know, that's what we said in the 70s. They say farm out. We made fun of them, say farmed out, because I grew up in Eastern Colorado. Anyway, so I want to look at this though, and see how we can begin to have an understanding of the breadth of adventure that is there for us in communicating in this other realm.
Yeah.
Is this possible for us to step into this a little bit today? Can we do this? And all I really want to look at is contrasting these two realms and understand that when what we've been given is access to that. But it's just access. It's kind of like we got to go to Italy just recently and told Larry where we were going there. And he said, well, take notes and let me know, because you'd gone to, what, Tuscany or, because, you know, you can't just say Italy. You know, you can get a passport and go to Italy, but you didn't see all of Italy. You didn't get the whole thing, did you? Even if you went to Venice. Venice is an amazing place, but it is so different than everywhere else, right? So just getting access to it isn't seeing it all. It's just getting getting exposed to the potential that is there, okay? All right, let's get into this. I'm going to pray real quick, and I'm going to go with me into this other realm as I talk to the Father. Amen. Father, we just love you so much. And we thank you, God, that you understand us in our natural thinking. God, right now you're bearing with us. You know how much more there is for us to go to, Lord God. And you desire to take us out of this limited realm that we're so used to, and to take us into a realm where impossibilities are turned into possibilities. And it's a realm of the Spirit, Lord. Lord, we thank you that to help us with that right now, you've given us your Spirit. It's come to be inside of us and to actually open up our eyes to understand these things. Lord, I thank you that this is an unending venture that you've given us to go on. But Lord, we just pray that you would help us to get some understanding with it now. And Father, that you would take us out of this religious approach to you. And for it to become something that we are and not just something we do. And Lord, we just, we ask your help with this right now. Open the eyes of our understanding. Flood them with the light of what's ours in Christ. And God, we just trust you with it now in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's these two different realms that I just want to point out. First one is the natural or the physical, right? And it has limitations. And how do we access the natural? Real easy. Even if we don't want to, right? Our senses. How many senses do we have? Five, is that right? Except if you're really cool, you got a sixth one, right? But what happens? Your senses are telling you what to do, what to not do all the time, aren't they? And they're limiting you in a lot of different ways because of experience. They say you only have to be burned once. You're not going there again. Is that right? Supernatural realm, it's a spiritual realm. And it doesn't have limitations. And how is it accessed? And this is where we're going to see, how do we access this spirit realm? And it's going to directly relate to prayer. But I want us to not just look at prayer and just being prayer, but it's actually accessing another realm. Right. That's what we're doing. And so even the word prayer, what is implied with this? Do you ever, now, if you're King's English and you go back and, you know, I pray thee. How many people actually do that anymore? You know, it's like, do I pray thee? No, you don't. Why? Because there's implied just with the word pray that you're subjugating yourself to another entity. Does that make sense? You're not on a, I'm not going to pray Larry. I'm not going to pray Buddy. You know, it's like, I'm not going to pray Daniel. Why? Because we're kind of peers to some extent. I mean, they're glorious people, and I lift them up highly, but, you know, it's like, I'm not going to pray them. Because there's this implication that you're going to another realm in this conversation. You're raising your sights to another level that you're going to draw from. Does that make sense? So, we're going to see this, though, because it seems like too simple that you just access this with words. But this is what is happening in what we've been given in Christ. We've been given access to the spirit world. And we're not going to the weird stuff, but here's actually what happens. When you become familiar with the spirit, and this is why Jesus said, remember that little boy was tormented by a demon? And the disciple said, why can't we do this? He says, well, because you're going to have to live in the realm of the spirit if you're going to dominate the spirit. Is that I kind of interpreted that a little bit. But why did he say this only comes out by prayer? By prayer. That means you're spending your time in the spirit realm. Is that right? Yes. And gaining a familiarity so that you're not impressed. You can go to Nepal and see the monkey demons and whatnot and kind of chuckle at it because you've been in a place that you're more impressed with the spirit of God. Amen. Let's look at John 4:23. And so this is really something that we've been given in Christ. Now, there was an element of this before because the Spirit of God didn't begin after Christ. He's been here. Amen? Right. And his purpose is actually to reveal Jesus and to empower us. Did you know that actually the Father God is not on the earth right now? He's actually in heaven. And Jesus is in heaven right now. But the Spirit is here right now to give us revelation of him and to actually help us to communicate. So let me not get ahead of myself too much, but I'm going to say this is, you know, you could say, well, why doesn't God just do stuff? Well, he's not here. And why do I have to pray if something's going to happen? Because that's how God gets here. He comes through our prayer. Does this make sense? So we access the Spirit, and the Spirit accesses the natural through us. Amen? This is how powerful our prayers are. This is why you have not because you ask not. That doesn't mean that it's not there. It means that the ability of God to actually work in our lives is contingent upon our words accessing the realm of the Spirit. And you get into that realm of the Spirit, and now it becomes a two-way. Now God is actually moving because you're opening your mouth and saying something, right? Jesus refers to this in John 4:23. I would like to man, I really believe worship isn't just singing songs. And thankfully it's not. I don't you appreciate Hunter and the gift of God upon him? You know, it's not just music, but you know, you hear a heart of honoring God. But what is true worship? It's not music, it's a response to the Spirit of God that is appropriate for him. Now, when the music's going on, we're going to do certain things. We might bow down. We might clap. We might do different things. But what are we doing? We're responding to the Holy Spirit. Is that right? Amen. That's what's happening in that moment. Yes. But how else is he wanting to be glorified? How else do we worship him? Let's look at what Jesus said. So he encounters this woman by the well. Remember? And she's a man. She's been a vile woman. You know, she's just been a worldly woman. And he reads her mail. He sees exactly what's going on because he lives in the realm of the Spirit. He can see these things. Is that right? And she starts talking about worship, and where you worship is important. He says, you know what? You're experiencing something that's really cool right now. If you could only realize how cool it is, you're standing here talking to the Son of God. And he even says that, right? He says, I'm the one. Wouldn't that be amazing? Oh, Jesus is like, way too cool. Like, why did she get that? You know, it's like. And so he's talking about this. He says, but the time is coming. Indeed, it's here now when true worshipers will worship the Father. Whoa. Where did that come from? Wow. Another realm. I guess it thought I was telling it to do something. I don't know. That's pretty creepy, isn't it? I think there's spirits in these things. Shooey. Well, I'll turn the volume down anyway. Okay. All right. Sorry about that. Did it wake anybody up? All right, good. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. I didn't get to it, did I? When true worshipers will do what? They'll worship the Father in spirit and in truth. That means it's going to be more than just what we're used to doing. We're actually going to go to the realm of the Spirit and respond to his will. Now, this is what I see in worship. It's actually doing the will of the Father in honor of him. Okay? The Father's looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is what? He's a spirit, isn't he? So those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It's going to have to be who you actually are. And I'm going to look at the truth side a little bit because I believe it has to do with our words and who we become. All right, let's go to Romans 10. Belief in the heart. So Jesus established this. He said, this is happening right before your eyes right now, where things are changing, where your encounter with God is becoming something that you access in worship. You're accessing the very presence of God. Romans 10:8. Belief in the heart in the spirit, okay? So the heart and the spirit, we'll call them the same thing, okay? Enables access by words and prayer. So it doesn't access, it enables access. So it's not enough to just believe. It's not just enough to, yeah, I agree. To agree is not enough. How do you actually access? It's not enough to just have a passport. You actually have to go through customs. You actually have to do something with it. Is that right? In fact, it says, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. If you openly declare that God, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and is by openly doing what? Declaring your faith that you are what? Assured into the spirit realm. Is that right? What happens when we get saved? We go from one realm into another. And the challenge is, what we want to do is take the old realm and put the new realm on top of it somehow and relate everything to where we've been. And it is nothing like where we've been. Is that right? It's a new realm. I think Leon Stump wrote a song, out of one realm into another. It's a good song. But that's what's happened. How did it happen? When we receive revelation, but what is our access? How do we go there? And again, remember, I'm relating this to prayer. What's happening when we pray? It's no small thing. Right. As soon as we open our mouth and begin to address God, who is a spirit, what are we doing? We're accessing the Spirit. We're going from one realm into another. It's amazing to me how people, it's like I had my nails done. It's like my hair. I've gotten to where I do it myself, but I have my nails done so I can play the guitar and still be a gnarly dude. Because sculptured nails are really hard, and I can make them thick. I make them thicker than the ladies do because I want to be gnarly, okay? And I do my own now. And I do my hair. I have a suck cut that does my hair. But it works. I don't have to wait for it. It's like, oh, I want a haircut. Okay, get it out. Okay. Right, how was I talking? Oh. So there's this, you know, most of these people that do nails, though, now. Actually, that's how I met my wife. And she doesn't know Vietnamese, but most of them do, you know. It's like, they're just very naturally gifted at that, and they do a wonderful job. And anyway, so I scheduled, and I had this, I don't know why I'm telling you this. Just enjoy it, okay? Okay. Over here, you know, by the barbecue place, Smoky Moe's. There's a nail place over there. So I'm putting in a plug, trying to get out of this somehow. Okay. But man, there was this young girl, and most of them are you know, from Vietnam. But this one younger girl was doing my nails, and I'm thinking, and she's talking to me like, you know, an American English. It's like, oh, this is comfortable. But then she starts. It's coming out of that same mouth that just made sense to me. You know what I mean? It's like, how do people do this? It's amazing. But it's not instantaneous. I mean, for her, she probably grew up bilingual. You know, she probably grew up in America, you know. And And I think it can happen that way sometimes spiritually too, you know, where I don't remember actually getting filled with the Holy Spirit. But what I want to encourage us in is this other realm. It's something that you have to develop. And just because you're used to American English doesn't mean that that's all you can speak or that, you know, what I was told that like in Europe that they don't like Americans. Why? Because Americans want you to talk our language. And the first thing you always say, do you speak English? Instead of, I would like to try to ask you something in your language, you know. But there's something about going into this other realm that there needs to be an understanding that communication is different in this realm. Yeah. I can't just take where I've been and expect there to be an understanding there.
Yes, that's right.
Is that right?
Right.
I'm going to have to grow in another understanding.
Yes.
And it's not just going to be something that I come up with. We'll get into this some more going forward. But it's going to be something that is real from the heart of God that is from the heart of God. Okay, let's keep going here. John 6:63. When united with Christ, words are spirit and they are life. What does John say? It says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Is that right? Who's it talking about? I'm talking about Jesus. Isn't that interesting? It's like this word stuff isn't just something you do. For Jesus, it became who he was. Is that right? Because he operated in the realm where words dictate in the spirit. Is that right? That's how creation came to be, wasn't it? Words were spoken and things took place. Jesus came and wherever he was going, his whole access in the spirit was directly connected to his words. Everything he declared was powerful. Is that right? And he says this in this passage, it is the Spirit who gives life. Man, there's such a dependence. What we've gotten in Christ is access to the spirit realm. Not just to Jesus in a wonderful experience we can have with Jesus. No, the Spirit gives us access to Jesus. Is that right? And it's according to his will. It's according to what he dictates. Not just what we want. Jesus is not like a puppy that we train, you know, to be our buddy. You know what I mean? No, we've come to come in line with him. And now our words don't just become words about him. They become him. Our words become him. It is the spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Okay, it's talking about two different realms, right?
Yes.
The realm of the spirit and the realm of the flesh, the realm of the natural. So the natural doesn't produce anything. So let's just get the natural, and this is maybe one of the biggest things just to get from this, is the natural isn't going to go into a conversation with God.
Ooh, wow.
You know what I mean? It's not going to be effective. Now, we can bellyache, and God's going to understand, and he's going to say, yeah, I understand, you know, you're a bellyacher, but let's get over that, because bellyaching doesn't produce anything, doesn't produce life. Only the Spirit produces life. Is that right? The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. So how do you access the Spirit? Through prayer. You are not spiritual if there's no prayer going on. Is that right? It's directly related to how much you're accessing. If you're going to live in the Spirit, you're going to be living in words that are taking you there. Every word, that's why every word becomes critical. It's either in the spirit or it's in the flesh. Is that right? Two different realms. Luke 11:2. Jesus' prayer, and he's, okay, we might come back to this again later, but the beginning of Jesus' prayer, and this is interesting because the disciples grew up hearing a lot of prayers. The Jewish tradition is, I mean, they had, I had a few professors in college. One of them was the rabbi of the largest conservative temple in Denver. And I went on a Saturday. Their services were on Saturdays. And I went one Saturday. I mean, it was like a 3-hour-long service. I think there was a bar mitzvah going on. And, you know, you get to experience the whole thing. And then when I was in Tulsa, I played the guitar with this flautist. That's a flute player. She was a Jewess. And so a lot of times on the holidays, they called them holidays, but, you know, like Rosh Hashanah, and, you know, different, I'm not real good at it, but we would go and we'd play there sometimes, but experience the service. And I mean, they would have people get up and they don't just read the scriptures, they sing the scriptures. You know, and there's a lot of prayer going on, and they're very eloquent, and they're very, it's an experience. And I like it. I like that. You know, you get that. You think that's what they were looking to Jesus as. You know what? He didn't grow up in the religious training. He wasn't honored as a religious leader, and yet he was called rabbi, right? It's because what was coming out from him was wisdom. In fact, they said, there's an authority coming out of you that we don't experience anywhere else. But here's the thing that was interesting is, of all that prayer that they were getting, scripted prayer, right? Yeah. We're going to read this prayer today. We're going to sing this prayer today. As if just the words were enough. If you just recite the words, that's all that is needing to be done. And it's not that at all. It's heart, it's spirit to spirit that needs to be taking place. And you can take the most simple prayer, and it can be way more effective than the most eloquent, well-stated prayer if it's spirit to spirit. Is that right? So let's look at just the first part of Jesus' prayer, because I think he's giving an insight into these two different realms that we're talking about. What are we talking about? Talking about the realm of the spirit and the realm of the flesh. Is that right? So let's look at it like it's heaven versus earth also. And Jesus does this. He says, so they ask him, the purpose for me going through that whole thing was, they're asking Jesus about how to pray. Well, these guys, they've got plenty of examples of how to pray. But they're asking Jesus. And what's really interesting to me, he gives them two paragraphs. After coming back from a whole night of praying with his father. Isn't that interesting? I think he didn't just go through this over and over again with his father. He had a whole lot more than this. But this encompasses the crux of what's taking place. So let's look at just the first passage, part of this, and see that he's saying, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven. What does that mean? First of all, let's get an understanding that we are addressing a Father by the Spirit. It's like the Holy Spirit, Jesus has become our intermediary. He's the one that goes before the Father for us even now, right? But we're addressing him and understanding that he is in another place right now. And his will is not being accomplished on the earth completely. You can't say, well, at least God's in control. Now, he's designed it to where he's in heaven. And any control that he has on earth is a result of our prayers. Is that right?
Yes.
That's why Jesus starts off the Lord's Prayer with this. He says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. I'm going to lift you up first of all right here. Before I do anything else, I'm going to exalt you. Is that right? But the very next thing he says is, your kingdom come. What is a kingdom? That's rule. That's ways. How things are going to be done. How does that kingdom come? Remember, Jesus kept saying this when he was on earth. He says, the kingdom is near. The kingdom is near. Well, what does that mean? He said, well, through me, there's going to be a way for the kingdom of God, the ways of God, to be imparted through the prayers of men. Amen?
That's good.
Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is the purpose of prayer? For me to come up with something of my will that needs to be done and get God on my side? No, it's, first of all, I'm going to discover what is the will of God. But can you see that there's a different realm that's going on that you're going into? In just saying that, you're going into the realm of the Spirit and you're saying, Spirit, the will of God, by my prayer, I'm bringing it into the realm that I'm familiar with. Does this make sense? So this natural realm that I'm in right now, God wants to use who we are. He wants to use our words. He wants to use our mouths in prayer to do what? To take things from heaven and to bring them into earth. Is that right? It's a venture. We go into this when we pray to God, and it's powerful. Amen? Now, it'll manifest in so many different ways, but there needs to be this understanding of as soon as we begin to engage God in conversation, this is a new creation enablement that takes us to another realm in prayer. Amen?
Amen.
All right, I got a couple more. Are y'all good? This is good. Amen?
Good.
So the venture of prayer is the way of life for the redeemed. I want to encourage us with this big time. Paul talks about praying always. I believe, you know, it's how do you do that? It's like, especially the different ways you can pray. Do you want to freak people out in the HEB, you know? You're going through the drive-thru. Excuse me just a second. I'd like to pray over this food. But it can be, though, that there's awareness of everything that's coming out of your mouth.
Right.
Is that right?
Amen.
That these aren't idle words.
Amen.
But there's, when I'm speaking in the realm of the Spirit.
Yeah.
To where I'm aware of the presence of God.
Yeah.
Amen? And I don't let my words just become idle words. They're all powerful. They're all taking me somewhere in this realm.
Yeah.
Hebrews 10:19. I'm just going to read through this. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. What is that? That's the spirit realm, isn't it? That's another realm that we enter. By a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil. That is his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God. What is it? Again, through his flesh. I'm sorry. I'm just tempted to point this out real quick. How did Jesus come? The word became flesh.
That's good.
Right? He consecrated us through the veil that is his flesh. He made this happen for us. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us do what? Draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to something that's coming out of our mouth. A communication. So he's saying, let's draw near by the blood. The blood has made this possible for us. Is that right? Yeah. It's not something that we've done in ourselves, but man, Jesus said it's here now. There's a way to access the Spirit. Let's go there. Let's go there boldly. And how do we go there boldly? By what's coming out of our... You can't just sit quietly in the presence of God and call it prayer. Now, you can receive stuff. You can receive revelation. But it's kind of like salvation. Salvation doesn't take place until our mouths get activated.
That's right.
Is that right?
Yes.
And there's no... Now we're going to get into this because it's important to get this understanding of how critical and how powerful this communication with God is. Because everything we throw his way is not going to be effective unless it's in line with his will. Amen? So gaining this understanding of how significant this is causes us to draw near to him with the right kind of approach. Because the confession that we're making, what's coming out of our mouth in prayer, needs to be an affirmation of what he's already declared. Amen?
Yeah.
Let's hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he is who promised is faithful. What's coming out of our mouth is going to be an affirmation of what his will is. Amen? All right, I've got one more here, and I want to encourage us with this. So what have we seen here today? My passion has been to see that he's taken us out of one realm into another, that we access, and we actually can be, there's an adventure for us to go on. Every time we open our mouth in prayer to God, it's a significant thing that is made possible for us by the blood of Jesus. Amen? And in that place is a place that turns, a power that turns impossibilities into possibilities. So we're going to look going forward at some of the things that we can pray for. And I just want to look at this one out of Zechariah 4:6. Because this realm that we're going into when we're communicating with God, man, God, give us revelation. Help this to there to be an elevation of the power of the words coming out of our mouth. If we could just get a revelation of how significant it is, Jesus be my Lord, how powerful that is.
Yes.
We're not going to hell anymore.
Right.
We're delivered from the power of darkness in what we just said. Is that right? All right, let's look at Zechariah 4:6. Then he said, this is God's message to Zerubbabel. Not by might. What is that? That's natural ability. Not by natural ability, not by natural strength. Not by power, but by what? My spirit, says the Lord Almighty. You will succeed because of my spirit. Though you are few and weak, says, has nothing to do with those things that limited you before. Is that right? You will succeed because of what? Another realm that I brought you into. But look at how you access this realm. Therefore, no mountain, however high, can stand before who? Who's the one doing the work? To me, this relates directly to Jesus' prayer. There's a Father in heaven that needs a prayer, needs a declaration from somebody who is on earth. How many are on earth? Right? And God has designed it so that there's such a power that we possess that he requires it before he can move mountains.
Yes, yes, yes.
Is that right? Yep. He just told Zerubbabel, he said, that mountain is going to go away before you. He didn't say before me. Now, he's the one that's going to do it, but it's going to be Zerubbabel's declaration. Is that right?
Yes.
No mountain, however high, can stand before Zerubbabel, for it will flatten out before him. How many would like some mountains to just flatten out before you? Amen? This isn't just for Zerubbabel. This is especially for a new creation in Christ.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes, amen.
This is what he's brought us into now.
Yes.
Out of one realm into another. What did he say? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Very similar, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyone who says to. What are you doing when you're saying? You're going into an adventure. Just get ready to go on an adventure when you start speaking by the Spirit.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
And Zerubbabel will finish building this temple with mighty shouts of thanksgiving for God's mercy, declaring that all was done by grace alone. Don't you like that? What is very powerful in the midst of this is this relationship that we have with God by grace. That the more you exalt the power of the Spirit, the more your own abilities and your own things that could get you sidetracked, thinking it was by you or by something that you did, get diminished down to nothing, because you are living in another realm that has no connection to that. Amen? This is where words and prayer will take us to. They'll not take us to an area of pride. Prayer doesn't elevate pride. Prayer elevates humility before God. Amen? And it enables the power of the Spirit. It takes us to a place in the Spirit where mountains flatten before us. We got some mountain flatteners. Forget about that cat equipment. Right? We're mountain movers. Praise God. And where is it coming from? I want to encourage us in this. This isn't something that we can just do once in a while. It has to become our life, where everything about us becomes a release of a Spirit word. Amen? Of the life of God that's in us. All that was done is by grace alone, by God's power, by His ability. How can you say that? It's because you've been living there. You've been speaking there. You've been going on adventures there. I encourage us today, the rest of today, let's start intentionally going on adventures in the Spirit. Amen? God wants to take us there. There's things that are going on in our life that we begin to call on Him. We begin to call on the name of the Lord. He'll show us what to say. Something needs to be. It's real interesting. Zerubbabel wasn't talking to God. He was talking to the mountain. He was shouting grace to the mountain. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, you talk to the mountain. How can you talk to the mountain if you haven't been talking to the mountain mover? You have to be talking to Him all the time. Amen? I want to encourage us in this because, man, there's some stuff to be done, some effect to be made, and there's going to be no giving in to the enemy in this. Our words become very critical, what's happening, and revealing. There's an opportunity in the presence of God today for us. Amen? I like that. Let's don't let go of our confession. What He's promised, He's going to do. It's all going to be by His grace. But God in heaven right now is looking for access to move on the earth through your mouth. That's critical. Amen? Our prayers become very powerful. Some things are just never going to happen till we open our mouth and begin to pray. Now we're going to look at how that becomes something that's faith. because it needs to be by faith. It's not wish prayers to get this happened. Is that right? It's going to have to be praying through faith. But man, we have to have this understanding of how powerful it is that we're going on an adventure in the Spirit every time we open our mouth unto God. Amen? Yeah. Praise God.